It is time for the Ancient Landmark, brought to you by the Caneyville Church of Christ, meeting at the four-way stop in Caneyville, Kentucky. The Caneyville Church of Christ meets for Bible study on the Lord's Day at 10 a.m. and worship at 10:45. We meet Sunday afternoon at 5. We meet for Wednesday night Bible study at 7. If you'd like to ask a Bible question or schedule a Bible study, please feel free to call 589-4167. Your speaker today is Jared Jacobs.
And welcome once more to the Ancient Landmark. My name is Jared Jacobs, and I'm so thankful to be with you, and so glad we have this opportunity to once again open up God's Word and to study together. We encourage you, if you will, to get a Bible out and follow along with the things we're going to study as we spend time together in the Book of God. So thankful for this time, and so thankful for the fact that we can be here with you, that we might study, that we might learn, and that we might grow, we might find out what the Lord has to tell us. What I'd like for us to do today is study on a subject that a lot of times seems pretty controversial. I'm really not sure why exactly, except that I think a lot of times we're taking what men say rather than what God says. But the subject has to do with the Holy Spirit. And who the Holy Spirit is, what He does, what He is about, how He works, and all those kind of things. You know, whenever we think about the Holy Spirit, there's so many times that people treat the Holy Spirit as if it's something confusing, or something, the subject of study is something mysterious, confusing, or whatever. And literally on just about every page of the Bible, you're going to read about the Holy Spirit, or you're going to see the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in general, works in three ways. If you understand this, you're going to understand much of the work of the Holy Spirit and what He is about. The Holy Spirit's work has to do, number one, with creation, number two, with salvation, number three, with inspiration. And whenever I can look into Scripture and see that, whenever I grasp that idea, I'm going to understand something that the majority of this world doesn't understand. So here's the Holy Spirit's work in creation, in salvation, and in inspiration. And again, whenever I can see that, I will be well on my way to truly appreciating the Holy Spirit and who He is and what He does and how He goes about doing things. First of all, understand when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about God. Holy Spirit is deity. And I think sometimes we do not appreciate that. But we find in the New Testament, especially in the New Testament, that the Holy Spirit is referred to as God a number of times. He is included in what's called the Godhood or the Godhead. Depending on what version you use, Acts 17 verse 29 talks about the Godhead, or like I said, some versions will say Godhood. The idea is the God family. And so here's the Father, here's the Son, here's the Holy Spirit, all God or deity. And you see this a number of times where the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are mentioned. For example, in Matthew 28 and verse 19, we're going to see there in Matthew 28 and 19 where Jesus said to His apostles, He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And so here when we talk about baptism, baptism is the only command really that calls into witness the Godhead. Because He says here is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. In the name of. Sometimes people are confused about that. In the name of. What does that mean? Does that mean the name Father or the name Son, as if to say Son is a name or Father is a name? Well, no, and people are confused on that. It doesn't mean that somehow Father is God's name, like you would address somebody and say that their name is Father. But rather, in the name of means by His authority. By the authority of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. That's what that's about. It's kind of like over in Colossians 3:17 when He said, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Well, whenever it says, "Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ," that passage, Colossians 3:17, does not mean that I must say Jesus Christ before I do something. What He's saying is, do all by the authority of Jesus Christ. That's the point. And in Matthew 28:19, it's the same thing. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, by the authority. You'll see this once more. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14 speaks about the Father, speaks about the Son, and the Holy Spirit once more. And the passage relative to Godhead or Godhood, you see this in Acts 17, 29. I mentioned that a moment ago. Romans 1, verse 20, and also Colossians 2, 9, and talks about the Godhead or the Godhood. And so when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we see the Holy Spirit is God, and He is deity. He is not some impersonal force or some mystical it or whatever. Sometimes people treat the Holy Spirit as if it's some type of a mystical thing or some type of an it or some type of a force or whatever. And yet whenever you look into the Bible, you see that the Holy Spirit possesses the attributes of personality, attributes of an individual. It's not a force, it's not it, but an individual. And no doubt that's why the Lord uses the pronoun He when referring to the Holy Spirit. I mean, you think about this. The Holy Spirit is independent of the Father and the Son. That's one thing. And if you go over in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6, you'll see this. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 and 6, often referred to as the platform of unity or referred to as the seven ones and various things like that. But here's the Apostle Paul writing to the Ephesians and telling them when he's talking about this unity. In fact, Ephesians 4, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And he says there in Ephesians, again, go back with me. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 talks about this, where he says, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. Well, whenever you read that, he says there's one Spirit, and that's verse 4, one Lord, that's verse 5, and one God and Father of all, that's verse 6 of Ephesians 4. So you have one Spirit, one Lord, and one God. Now, I'm no mathematician, but I do know that 1 plus 1 plus 1 is 3. And so the question becomes, as you look back in that, is this passage referring to seven ones or just five ones? I would suggest to you there are seven ones. One body, one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. One body, one Spirit, one hope. I'm sorry, verse 4 says one hope. There's your seventh. One hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. So there are seven ones that are there referred to. And so we find also that the Holy Spirit, Bible says in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1, speaks. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, we find that the Holy Spirit speaks. He's independent of the Father and the Son. He also teaches. John 14, verse 26, talks about how the Holy Spirit was going to teach you, talking about to the apostles once more. Jesus talking to the apostles, the Holy Spirit's going to teach you, or the Comforter is going to teach you all things. It's the Holy Spirit, though, that can be lied to as well. Remember Acts chapter 5, verse 3 and 4? As we talk about attributes of personality, attributes of a living being, then you have to say, well, yes, the Holy Spirit can be lied to. That's what Ananias and Sapphira did. He said, you have lied to the Holy Spirit, Peter says. Well, again, the Holy Spirit cannot be a mystical force or some type of a it or some type of a impersonal thing at all. Here is some personality. Here's the attributes of living. For it says you can lie to the Holy Spirit. You know, I cannot lie to a chair. I cannot lie to gravity. I cannot lie to the wind. I mean, I can't lie to forces. I cannot lie to that which is inanimate. I can't lie to a rock. Okay? I cannot do that. But I can lie to a person or personality. I can lie to a living person as we talk about the Holy Spirit. He can be resisted. Acts 7, verse 51, when Stephen said to the people at that time, said to the Sanhedrin, he said, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. He said, as your fathers did, so do ye. We find this again, Hebrews 10, verse 29. He said there's people that did despite to the spirit of grace. To do despite to somebody, to be spited, if that's a word, but to show that spite towards someone. Again, it's not a mystical force we're talking about. It's not a it. It's not some mysterious thing in that sense. You're talking about the deity. We're talking about the godhood or the godhead. And we can talk about blasphemy. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31, to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And more could be said about that. We're probably not going to get into that today. But you're talking about blasphemy. And again, you cannot blaspheme gravity. You cannot blaspheme, centripetal force. You cannot blaspheme an it or a force or whatever. It's not that. But you talk about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. And it is deity. That's what we're talking about. And even to speak of the Holy Spirit speaks of the omniscience, the omnipresence, and certainly the omnipotence of the Holy Spirit, just like you talk about the Father, just like you talk about the Son. And so we need to appreciate that. We need to see the Holy Spirit's work, again, in creation and salvation and in inspiration. But as we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we need to understand that this Holy Spirit is deity just as much as God and just as much as Christ, just as much as all of these. And so you think about this. How does the Holy Spirit work in creation? Well, we see creation, obviously, in Genesis chapter 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the water. And Genesis 1 and verse 2 says, and the Spirit of God moved, or hovered. Some versions say hovering. Moved or hovered upon the face of the water. And so there again, we see the Holy Spirit active in creation, active in the creation of this world. All the things that we see, all the things, visible and invisible, from the microbes all the way up. In Job chapter 33 and verse 4. Job 33 verse 4, he says, the Spirit of God hath made me. The breath of the Almighty hath given me life. And so here he says again, the Spirit of God, here's the Holy Spirit, he hath made me. Job recognizes the acts of the creation and how the Holy Spirit acted in creation. The Holy Spirit was also part of salvation. You say, well, how so? Well, in a number of ways. One way we'll begin is just by noting that if it was not for the Holy Spirit, we do not have Jesus Christ. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, for example, verse 34 and 35, we'll see here what Mary was told by the angel. Now, remember, Luke chapter 1, in this section, Luke 1, 34 and 35, this is where Mary was told that she is going to give birth. And she's going to she was blessed among all women, and so forth, and she is going to give birth to the Son of God. Now, that's what's coming up here in time, but right here he says that the angel was speaking to her, Gabriel, Luke 1:26. The angel Gabriel was speaking to her. And whenever he speaks to Mary, says how you're going to have a son, you're going to name him Jesus, verse 31. Verse 34 of Luke chapter 1. Mary said to the angel, how shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? The angel answered and said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, here's the Holy Spirit in salvation from the very start, because here is the promise. Mary's going to have a child, you're going to have a son, you're going to name him Jesus, for he shall save his people from his sins. Luke 1 verse 31 and Matthew chapter 1 talks about this as well. Whenever we read this, then he says, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. How is it we're going to have a child? How is it that this is going to be possible, seeing as I know not a man? The Holy Spirit is going to plant the seed, as it were. The Holy Spirit's going to make this all possible. And you'll see it again in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew 1 talks about Joseph's response. Now, Luke 1 is Mary. Matthew 1 is Joseph. And in Matthew chapter 1, of course, here's Mary that's found with child. And the Bible says in Matthew 1, verse 20, that the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph, appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost, or of the Holy Spirit. So we see the angel speaking to Mary and saying that this is what's going to happen. Joseph was not there. Joseph was not present in Luke chapter 1. He wasn't there to see all this or hear the angel speak. But once she is found of child, and it's evident she's having a child, that's Matthew 1:18, and he's concerned about this because he knows it's not his. But Matthew 1 verse number 20 and then verse 21 talks about how the angel would speak to Joseph and say, this is of the Holy Spirit. So even Jesus coming into this world is of the Holy Spirit. Yes, so the Holy Spirit's involved in creation. The Holy Spirit's involved in salvation. And certainly the Holy Spirit is involved in inspiration. And you'll see this as well. When you talk about, for example, 2 Peter chapter 1, 20-21, where Peter was writing and he says, 2 Peter 1, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. For he said, holy men did not speak of themselves. He says, they didn't have a message of themselves. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Some versions will say, as he was carried about by the Holy Spirit. But it's the same idea. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so, here are these people, whether you're talking about Old Testament writers, New Testament writers. These folks writing God's word and writing God's revealed will, when they did that, the Bible says that they were inspired of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't of a private interpretation. In other words, this, they didn't make this up. This wasn't something they made up on their own. This was not the result of their private study or whatever. This was not the result of a team, of a think tank, of a whole bunch of smart men deciding something. Rather, what this is, the Holy Spirit spoke to them and told them and taught them. You'll see this also when we read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. In 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, where he talks about all scriptures given by the inspiration of God. To be inspired of God is, that means God breathed in that sense. And so it's just like us breathing out in order to speak. And I mean, that's the truth. You breathe out when you speak. That's exhaling. And as the air exhales from your body and travels across the vocal cords and you choose to speak, that makes the vocal cords work. And now you can speak and we can understand you. We can hear what you're saying. That is the word picture of inspiration. And I recognize God is not a human and he doesn't have vocal cords and all that, but that word picture is given, so we appreciate how this is going. God spoke, and now because of this we have his word. Now whenever he spoke, then the Holy Spirit has given us what God spoke. It's kind of like dictation or something like that, because through God's revealed will, inspiration, then the Holy Spirit inspired these men to write what they did. And as a result, then we have God's completed word today. And we see just how that is so. All right? So what an amazing thing when we think about the inspiration and we think about the creation and we think about the salvation. The Holy Spirit has been involved in all of these things. And it also tells me how special this Bible really is. The Bible is not the collected works of men. It's not the collected works of men's thoughts and opinions and writings on things. This has come from God. And he's made it very clear to us that this is from God, and because the Bible is unlike any other book you'll ever read. And this collection of books is just an amazing thing that we possess. We have 66 books under one cover, is really what the Bible is. And so this Bible, this collection of these books, all these folks were inspired to write what they did. And as a result of this inspiration, now we can know God's will. We can understand it. We can live it. We can follow it. We can obey him and look forward to heaven one day whenever this life is over. Isn't that amazing? That's just a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing that God has provided and given to us. He didn't have to do that, and didn't have to spend that time doing that. But he did because he loves us and he wants us in heaven one day. Let me pause for a moment and remind you this program is brought to you by the Caneyville Church of Christ. Caneyville Church of Christ meets together just right across the road from the Sacramento Bank there in Caneyville in Grayson County. We'd love to see you. We'd love for you to come and be with us at any and every time that you can. We'd love for you to ask your Bible questions. And you want to come be with us, we meet on the Lord's Day at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 10:45 for morning worship, and 5 in the afternoon for worship, also on the Lord's Day. And again, you bring an open Bible, bring an open mind. We'd love to study with you. Love to talk to you about your Bible questions, about these things of a spiritual nature. And certainly we would love for that to happen. And so you're not going to embarrass us or anything, and we certainly don't want to embarrass you. But if you've got questions and we could help you, we want to do it. It's a sincere plea. If you would like to come be with us, Wednesday night also we meet for Bible study, Wednesday night at 7. You'd be our honored guest if you come be with us. Also, you can go to our website, CaneyvilleChurchOfChrist.com. Our Facebook page is available as well. Just go to Facebook and look at Caneyville Church of Christ. You can like us, follow us, all of that. You can send us messages as well. If you have questions, you can request radio programs or sermons or different writings and things. And as I said, we strive to update both the website and the Facebook page several times in the week. There's always new stuff there. There's always new things to study and to think about and to consider. And I hope that you'll go there and that, again, you'll contact us. If you want to ask a Bible question, call me, 589-4167. 589-4167. I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to hopefully answer your Bible question. If I don't know the answer, then I know where to go to find the answer. We'll go and sit down and learn God's Word. If you'd like a correspondence course, we can set up a correspondence course. They're absolutely free, and we'd love to do that as well. And so just know all these things are free for the asking, and we want to make sure that you know what God's Word says that might help us get from earth to heaven. So we think about the Holy Spirit, and we think about the things that He is about. I hope we understand that the Holy Spirit and His work is not a mysterious thing. It's not something that is unknown, because like I said, from Genesis 1 verse 2, all the way through the Bible, you're going to read about the Holy Spirit, even in Revelation 22. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 18, where he says, "The Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." So here's Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. We're reading about the Holy Spirit in various ways and again, various works, whether you're talking about creation or salvation or inspiration. The Holy Spirit has things in which He is doing, and He is certainly very active in those ways. And we recognize that without the Holy Spirit, there is none of these. We cannot be here. There is no creation. There is no life. There is no anything without the Holy Spirit's action. And as well, salvation, same thing. If you look in Romans 1 verse 4, in Romans 1 and verse 4, he talks about Jesus Christ, and it's interesting, though, when you read Romans 1 and 4, because it says he's declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection. And I want you to notice the connection with the Holy Spirit once more. Jesus Christ is declared as the Son of God. How or when? When did that happen? He's declared the Son of God, it says, by the Spirit of holiness, or the Holy Spirit. Then by the resurrection. It took all of that. And so I don't want to diminish the resurrection of Christ, but our point is emphasizing the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was there not only to begin this process, as it were, to plant the seed, as it were, so as Mary could give birth to the Son of God, but He is also declared the Son of God by and through the Holy Spirit. And you see this once more in John chapter 1. If you turn your attention to John chapter 1, we'll see about Jesus. Now, by John chapter 1, it jumps, certainly John does this and Mark does this, they both kind of jump into the life of Christ. We don't read a whole lot about the birth of Christ or the childhood of Christ like you do in Matthew and Luke. But in John chapter 1, he talks about the baptism of Jesus. Jesus was baptized. Of course, that's also referred to and commented on in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But here in John chapter 1, he talks about how that Jesus was baptized. And it says this in John chapter 1. John chapter 1 says, John bare record, and he said, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. This is John 1, verse 33. I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptized of the Holy Ghost. I saw, verse 34, I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. So John chapter 1, verse 29, really 29 to 36 is the context right there. And we were noticing primarily 33 and 34, but John 1, 29 to 36 says here once more the connection with the Holy Spirit and salvation. Not only was planting the seed and so forth, not only declaring him as the Son of God, Romans 1 verse 4, by the resurrection, but now even in these early days. And it's John the Baptist who says that I was told that the one that I see the Spirit descending like a dove, this is the Son of God. And he's saying, I bear record. He's the Son of God. I saw it. I was there. I saw it. I witnessed the whole thing. And even the next day after his baptism, it's John telling his disciples, Behold the Lamb of God. Here's the Lamb of God. Once more, he said it in verse 29. He says it in verse 36. He says, Here's the Lamb of God and the proof of it through the Holy Spirit descending as a dove and lighting upon him. And of course, we see a greater, more detailed description of this in Matthew chapter 3, 16 and 17. And Jesus has come up out of the water. After having been baptized of John, the Holy Spirit descends upon him as a dove and a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So here's my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So here's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit once more. And just another example, another biblical example of how you have the Holy Spirit as deity and yet also separate personality. Separate personality from the Father and from the Son. Jesus is in the water, the Holy Spirit lights on him, and the voice is out of heaven. So there's three, one, two, three. Just like you read Ephesians 4, 4 to 6, and many other places. And so, certainly when we think about the Holy Spirit, I hope that some of the things we're talking about today hopefully is dispelling some confusion that you might have. Hopefully so. And that hopefully through this kind of a study and just kind of walking through some of these verses together and just reading what they have to say and understanding what they have to say, we can appreciate better the work of the Holy Spirit. And I think a lot of times folks get the work of the Holy Spirit confused and they don't really appreciate all the things the Holy Spirit was doing or was about doing and so forth. And so with that in mind, it gets messed up a lot of times. We need to understand just what the Holy Spirit was about, what he was doing, and the actions that he took. And especially in those ways, the main three ways of creation, salvation, and inspiration. If I can get a hold of that one, so many of these passages are going to open up because generally they're going to fall in one of those three categories. And then from there, I can see the work of the Holy Spirit in its context, in its real context. I hope this has been helpful to you. I hope this has been encouraging to you. And I hope that as a result of our study, this will encourage you to study about the Holy Spirit even more. I'm so thankful for the fact we can be together like this and that we can study and learn. Don't forget, if you have any questions at all, certainly contact me, 589-4167. 589-4167. I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to study with you. I'd love to answer your Bible questions if I can. And certainly we encourage you, come be with us. The Caneyville Church of Christ. Like I said, Caneyville Church of Christ meets in Grayson County near the intersection of Highway 62, Highway 79. There in Caneyville, we'd love to see you and love for you to visit and ask your questions. So thankful for this time and so thankful for our study. Till next time, Lord willing, we bid you good day.
You have been listening to The Ancient Landmark, brought to you by the Caneyville Church of Christ. Tune in tomorrow at this time for another study from the Book of God.